Today on Real Life Radio.
The salvation point is done. I've met Christ. He calls him Lord. The very next breath out of his mouth should be our question all the time. Lord, what would you have me to do? This is the Christian life being lived out.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3. The Book of Philippians. Here now in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It's in these three verses that the Apostle Paul bears his experience to us of what the Christian life is all about. You see, in this world, the Christian will live a life of contradictions. We're driven to constantly pursue Christ, while at the same time experiencing our own distractions and trials. God has placed eternity in our hearts, while at the same time, He's given us a purpose for living, even in the midst of suffering. Our imperfections, they are many, but we'll continue to press on towards the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God loves us as much as He loves His only Son, Jesus Christ. That's hard to believe, isn't it? It really is hard to grasp, but we need to accept His love wholeheartedly and live in such a way that we reflect the person and the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to remind you that all sorts of resources for your spiritual growth are available at jackhibbs.com. Things like devotions, podcasts, interviews, previous messages, special events, all this and a lot more available at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I met a man again up in Canada, 92 years old. He said, Pastor, pray for me. My wife died, and I'm seeking the next chapter in my life for Christian ministry. He's 92. I thought that would be called a cruise ship or something. At 92. That's the right attitude to have. At 92, Pastor, pray for me. I need to see God's vision for my next chapter of life, of ministry. Listen, retirement is when we see Jesus. That's when we rest, when we enter glory. Versus the atheist walking around that box of a plan that God has engineered for you, but you never open it up. You look at the name tag, but you never unwrap it. You never get the key. And on the day that you die, that's called hell. And you sent yourself there. You would have sent yourself straight to hell because God had given a box for you to open and to take the key to open the door to get into heaven, and you wouldn't even unwrap the gift. You just wanted to complain about it. You wanted to gripe about it. And you'll be in hell with nobody to blame but yourself. You can't blame God. He gave you the gift. You never opened it. Salvation is one thing. Now that we as believers here in this church, it's like, yeah, awesome. That's done. That's done. But what do we do now? It's beyond our abilities, beyond our comprehension, and beyond our abilities is what we heard last time. That's why Paul says in verse 12, I press on. There's so much more to discover with Jesus. And remember, church, he wrote this 31 years after he had been converted. He was still excited about Jesus. So now we come to the closing argument of this verse that until we cross the finish line, God has revealed his purpose. And look, thirdly, it's this. It's literally the reason why he did. Here's why God reveals his purpose. Verse 12, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I like the old King James Bible here. It says regarding the laying hold of, like some translations have, the old King James is apprehended. What comes to mind when you hear the word apprehended? The suspect was apprehended. What happens when the suspect is apprehended? They're arrested, they're caught, they're seized. And that's exactly what the word means. Listen, that's why the old King James has the word to be apprehended or arrested. It means to be taken or to take eagerly. There's a passion to this. It's the seizing hold of. It's very, very active. It means without hesitation, you grab something. You lay hold of it. So look how this goes. That I may arrest that for which Christ has also arrested me. So Paul would say today in our modern tongue, Jesus arrested me. I know it's for a purpose, so I'm going to arrest him. I will not be denied. I'm going to find out why Jesus saved me and do that very thing. Christian, this should be our reason for living. It's why God has you and I alive today. At exactly this, at this time of life, for a great reason. Now listen, if you read commentaries, if you do studies on this, what could Paul be referring to? Most biblical scholars agree that he's talking about, listen carefully, his Damascus Road experience. We've talked about it before, but not the salvation part. This is important to us. Paul is referring to, in fact, let me read it to you in Acts chapter 9. You can follow on the screen or you can turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Now watch this. If it's true that what Paul is talking about in Philippians is not his salvation, but his life after, then we need to ask ourselves this question. Now that I'm saved, a moment ago you raised your hand, you're Christian, would you agree, does this define your Christian life now, that you are in pursuit of God? Acts 9, verse 1. Then Saul, this is Paul before he was converted, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, that was what they called Christians in the early days, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, listen, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Stop walking around the box and tampering with it. Open it up. Look at his response. So he, Paul, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I want you to look at that for a moment. This is to be us. Lord, you saved me for a purpose. I'm alive right now. What would you have me to do? Notice, isn't that a neat response by this man who encounters Jesus? The salvation point is done. I've met Christ. He calls him Lord. The very next breath out of his mouth should be our question all the time. Lord, what would you have me to do? This is the Christian life being lived out. It's not just coming forward, or it's not just getting saved. That's just one of the opening steps of a long journey with Jesus. Paul is serious about it. And again, he will not be denied. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, this is a cool verse. It's very rare. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon on this verse before. Matthew 11, verse 12. Take a look at this. This is amazing. The Western mind, we don't get this thinking. We'll have a natural rejection to it. This is Jesus speaking. And this is what Jesus says. From the days of John the Baptist, that's interesting. John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament. From the days of John the Baptist, the close out of a dispensation, until now the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the gospel preaching of the way of salvation, Christ, the church, what he's doing. This age, these last 2,000 years. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. We all get that, right? We understand that? But are you ready for his next comment? Jesus says, and the violent take it by force. You ever thought about that? Again, in the Western mind, we don't like that. It's like, what can that possibly mean? Honestly, it means this. It means this. The kingdom of God, since John the Baptist announced its coming, which was Christ, until all the way through now to the 21st century today, the violent advance the kingdom by force. What does that mean? It means this. that when the gospel gets hold of your life, there's nothing that will deter you from fulfilling the plan that God has cooked and baked into your heart and your life. He has a plan for each of you that's in that box that you unwrap that is unique from all other people on earth. And you've got to find out what that is. But Jack, the violent part, the violent take it by force, what does that mean? It means that you won't stop until the plan's fulfilled. It means that you hang on to him, that you look for every opportunity. Watch this. We'll see it displayed here in a moment. This is what it means. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. I love the scene. I hope in your mind you can just imagine. If you want to close your eyes, check this out. But this is the violent advancing the kingdom by force. It's completely unlike the way the world does things. So don't think Western mindset. This is it lived out. Mark 2, verse 1. And again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. In other words, Jesus is at a home Bible study. There's no room. People are hanging around the building. People are trying to get in. It's packed. Then they came to him, verse 3, bringing a paralytic who was... Not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Bible study, verse 3. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic, the man's crippled from the midsection down, he can't walk, who was carried by four men. And when they could not, who are the they? The four men. When they could come not near, but because of the crowd, watch, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. That is the actual act of the violent taking it by force. Do you see this? Now, do you understand it? They are there, their buddy. There's four guys. They've got a buddy. Their pal is on a stretcher, and they're looking. They've heard that Jesus is in, and we can't get in there. It's packed. We'll never make it. We got to get him in. You ever feel like this with a family member that's lost? They don't love Jesus. They don't know Jesus. You ever feel like, we got to get him in? They're every which way. And look, somebody gets an idea. This is the violent taking it by force. This is what it means. Watch this. It says, so when they had broken through, they let down. Look at this. When they had broken through, they were up on the roof. They uncover the roof. They break through. They let the man down while Jesus is teaching a Bible study. These are the kind of friends you want to have. Imagine how this was. We can't get in. Oh, we're getting in. Yeah, we got to figure it out. Come on, between the four of us, we got to figure this out. What are we going to do? It's packed. Yeah, if we can only get on the roof, let's get on the roof. Yeah, let's get on the roof. Somebody gets up on the roof. Can you imagine Jesus is teaching? There's like dust now falling through. There's things starting to come down. People are like covering their heads. Now there's palm branches falling through. There's wood falling through. They get a hole big enough where they lower a gurney with these, you know, ropes. They're coming down from the ceiling is this guy laying in a bed. They would not be deterred. And look what it says. It says that, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, this is radical. He said to the paralytic, the word demands that when Jesus saw the faith of the four guys, not the paralytic, Jesus said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. That just blows the doors. Ladies and gentlemen, there's people on TV saying, you need more faith. If you just have more faith, you'll be healed, you'll be rich. You want a private jet, you need more faith. Well, isn't that, it's too bad Jesus didn't know that. He's not even addressing the man that's crippled. Jesus gives no credit to the man's faith or not faith. It's not even addressed. Jesus gives credit to the four men who broke up the roof to let their friend down. Yeah. Jesus saw their faith and saw what was in their heart, that their friend would be healed and bless their friend. That is the violent taking it by force. What does it mean? It means you grab onto the promises of God and you don't let go. You hang on. God said this, and we're gonna go for this. We're gonna pray. We're gonna seek God. God said this. We're gonna do this. We need to get hungry like that again. We need to get, listen, violent like that again. To lay hold of him and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? We need to be like the apostle. And all his life, it was a life lived to see God move, because Paul knew that he was fulfilling the very reason for his existence. What an awesome life to live.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
If you're listening right now and your life is aimless and you are wandering about and you don't even know why you're alive and you have no reason for living, Jesus Christ has the answer. You don't need to commit suicide. You don't need to try to drown your brokenness in drugs or whatever. Listen, God's got a purpose for your life. If you're an atheist, what are you doing? Seriously. It's absolutely a joke what you're doing. And everybody knows that you've been messed up. You even know you're messed up. God made you. He loves you. You've been blaming him about all this stuff in your life when he didn't even cause it. You don't believe he exists, but you're mad at him. Go figure that one out. You have faith in the reverse. Stop walking around the box. Unwrap it. It's got your name on it. Pull out the key. It's Christ. You need to unlock that door. He is that door. You need to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Find a reason for your living is the only reason for you to get out of bed in the morning to live your life. And it is an awesome reason. It's not a reason to exist. It's a reason to press on. God gives us a remarkable life if we will but dare to take him at his word. You'll be satisfied, and like Abraham, you'll be in the promised land, but at the same time, you'll look for a city whose builder and maker is God. You're here, your life is both satisfied and not, because God meets all of your needs, and at the same time, you know you're not home. It's a remarkable thing. That I may lay hold for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Remember that path, that teleos. God is working you through to a moment that he has for you. Don't miss it. That's my great fear in my life, is that I'd somehow miss what God has planned for me. It'd be horrible. Listen, John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for us. It's known as the high priestly prayer, John 17 of Christ. Have you ever heard of the Lord's Prayer? You ever heard that? Do you know it to be our Father which art in heaven? How did you know that's wrong? It's not the Lord's Prayer. Hallmark said it's the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that's the disciples' prayer? The disciples asked him, how do we pray? He said, when you pray, pray like this. Do you know what the Lord's Prayer is? It's John 17. When the Lord prayed, it's recorded in the Bible. This is him praying. Look what he says, and I'll pass over some of these verses. Look at John 17, verse 9. This is Jesus praying. Listen, he's with his disciples. He's about ready to go back to heaven. I pray for them, Jesus said. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. I love that. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world. Wow, what does that mean? Listen, church, it means that he's made the transference, the teleos. He's handing them all that they need because he's leaving. But these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Don't you wish you would not have prayed that? Wouldn't it be great to accept Christ and immediately you wake up in heaven? No, apparently not, because God's got a plan for us. Look what he says. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the wicked one, Satan. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Verse 23, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made, there's the word, complete, perfect, one. The transference, the teleos, the impartation of the nature of God in us, and that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. Church, listen to this. According to Jesus, red letters in your Bible, John 17, Jesus said, the Father loves you as much as he loves the Son. Amen. Did you hear that? Immediately, doubt will arise in your heart. Do you really believe what Jesus said about God's love for you? You say, well, I'm kind of waiting for a feeling. You're not going to get it. It's it's too big. It's too beyond. Listen, Jesus said, my Father loves you as much as he loves me. I don't feel that. When I would expect a goosebump. I would expect a breeze to blow across the back of my neck. I would expect something. It's not going to happen. Question, did Jesus say it? Did he mean it? Is it true? You can doubt anything and everything he said until Resurrection Sunday morning. Now, whatever he said after Resurrection Sunday morning, you either have to accept it or reject it. But whatever he said on resurrection morning, he put a big exclamation point on his message to us. And according to Jesus, he says, the Father loves you as much as he loves me. I have to receive that by faith because I'm not that lovable. Do you feel unworthy of that kind of love? Guess what? We are all unworthy of that kind of love. Pastor, just tell me something I can do and I'll feel better. I'll feel like I'm more worthy of it. You've completely missed the gospel then. He has chosen to love you. If you're an atheist today, he has chosen to love you. Accept his offer. Like any relationship in life, accept his offer. Respond to that. Say yes to him. So, well, Jack, I want to figure it out. You can't figure it out. Open the box, take the key, watch what happens. For the believer's life, we've taken the key. And now we're watching in our lives what's happening. I'm going to give you a barrage of verses. Listen carefully. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Romans 8, 27. Listen, this is God's directed plans for your life. Be bold about these verses. Write them down. Look, I'm not into tattoos, but if you want to get a tattoo, listen, when I'm done giving you these verses, go on down to the tattoo place and have these notes put on your face or wherever you need them. If that's what you need, then go for it. Here's the deal. Romans 8:27 begins this way. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you know that the Bible says Jesus is talking to his Father in accordance with the Holy Spirit regarding your life? Did you get that? Jesus is praying to the Father. I like that because the Father is always listening to what the Son has to say. And it's in conjunction with the Holy Spirit's work, who has sealed you until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit's in you. And so Jesus intercedes. He's lifting us up before the Lord according to the will of God. That should bring a little bit of boldness to you. It's like, all right, I like this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. And it's our hope that you open up that gift of eternal life that God has for you so you can have a new life in His Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. The Great Reset. What exactly does that mean? More importantly, is America involved? Well-known author, founder, and president of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, breaks it down for us in his brand new book, And Pastor Jack has made this book our featured resource. It's called The Christian Response to the Great Reset. You know, our world is changing dramatically, and our Christian worldview is at stake. The rise of the Global Economic Forum is challenging our founding fathers' core values for our country, and we've got to understand what's coming. Now, Charlie Kirk is an outstanding voice for this day and time as he stands up for our rights and our freedom. Short and compact, this tremendously important book, The Christian Response to the Great Reset, is a must-read for all Christians. We really have to wake up to what's happening and to represent the truth of God's Word. The Christian Response to the Great Reset. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.